There is a lot in that passage. I don't know if you came up with some questions right off the top there. Every time I've ever read this story, I've always felt for the homeowner, whoever that was, who suddenly has a great big gaping hole in the roof. Because think about a guy lying on a stretcher. That's a big hole. Maybe he was a 5 foot tall guy. Maybe he was a 6.5 foot tall guy. It's a big hole that suddenly has to be filled. And there's nothing in the story about Jesus going, oh, and by the way, roof also be healed, right? Like, so there's weird questions like that that raise up that are worth talking about, that are worth considering. I'm not going to answer that question for you today. I just wanted to share a question that I sometimes have when I read this to give you a sense of questions like that. Okay, questions to be asking. I want to focus this morning on the barrier to Jesus. And this has been what I've been sitting with all week, is this idea that here comes, we've got a man, he's been paralyzed, he can't walk, he can't move on his own. So he has some good friends who have decided they're going to carry him to go see Jesus. They know that Jesus is in the area, they're going to carry him. They get there and they can't get in. There's a crowd so big that they can't get to Jesus. I picture Jesus kind of sitting in a living room or a front room of the house, and there being crowds inside and all outside trying to hear what it is that Jesus, who by this time has got some fame going, he's gotten well known, and they can't get him to Jesus. Can you imagine what it took for them to pack this guy up, get him on the stretcher, get enough friends with enough strength on that they could get him in there, only to be stopped by a crowd who wasn't going to part, who wasn't going to make room for them. And then they say, okay, but we're not going to let that stop us. We're going to climb up. I mean, just what was involved, right? We're going to climb up on the roof. We're going to haul this guy. How did they do that, right? How do you haul a guy up onto a roof? Now, presumably, it's not like a two-story house or a three-story house like we see walking around the annex. Presumably, it's kind of it's a one-story structure. I don't know that for sure, but I'm presuming. But even still, they had to get up to the roof. They had to haul their guy on his stretcher up to the roof, dig through the hole, and then haul him back down again. This was an involved process to get their friend before Jesus. I'm really glad his friends were persistent. I'm really glad they were so committed to getting him to Jesus, and that he probably was so committed to wanting to be before Jesus that they were willing to go to all of that work to get there. I was thinking about our church, and you were all the persistent ones who figured out how to get here from outside. And it's a joke that's not all that funny, but if you want to join us for worship, you have to really want to find us, don't you? Because A, you don't go in the great big doors at the front, which look less like doors now for the last year or so since there's murals on there. You have to know what door to come in. You have to know where to go once you get in there. You have to know that there's an elevator if you need an elevator and how you're going to get in here. And on days like today, when the hallway is super frigid cold because the heater's not working out there, you have to look at closed doors and be willing to step through closed doors before you ever come into this warm, wonderful, beautiful space. And so I think about the fact that there are things in our building that are barriers, potentially, to people meeting Jesus. And the people who get here are the people who are persistent enough, or sometimes people call ahead during the week. Debbie has been known to do tours of the building so people know what to expect when they get here on a Sunday, how to get here. We try and put up and remember to put up the right signage so that people can find their way. But there are barriers, sometimes really simple physical barriers. When this man wanted to see Jesus, when his friends wanted to get him before Jesus, there was a crowd, and the crowd was a barrier. So who was in the crowd? I think there were two groups of people who were in the crowd. One is the people that we're told about right from beginning, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, or maybe some translations, the Pharisees and the scribes. These are two different groups of people in Israel at the time who, they were kind of like the religious the super religious, the religious elite. These were the people, the Pharisees in particular, they were people for whom following the rules was really, really important. They wanted the people of Israel to be holy people. And they knew that all through what we call the Old Testament, all through the Bible at the time, were all the rules of how to be a holy people. And so they were the people who were digging in and going, well, it says you're not allowed to work on the Sabbath. And so what actually constitutes work? And how can we make sure that nobody's actually working? You know, it's okay to rescue your ox when it falls into a ditch, but it's not okay to go use your ox to do some farming or go to the market or something like that. They were the ones who were really saying, these are the rules and these are the exceptions and this is how we follow through it. And they were the ones who were also enforcing that, who were keeping their eyes out on who was and wasn't following it. And Jesus was a big concern to them because Jesus was respected by the people. Jesus was being seen as a teacher. People were coming from all over the place, flocking to Jesus. And so if Jesus was living in a way or evidencing things that were contrary to the scripture, if he was starting to tell people things that weren't substantiated by scripture, they wanted to know so that they could call him on it, so that they could correct it, so that they could help the people understand. We're going to see this in a couple of weeks. We're going to talk about the Sabbath being really important. The Sabbath, this day that's dedicated to God, this day that's dedicated free from work and instead focusing on God and focusing on faith and rest in God and those kind of things. And Jesus regularly was disobeying the laws that they felt were really clear. And so they were really frustrated with him. And so it's interesting to me anyways, to note here in this passage that the Pharisees and the scribes, some of them, they came from every village of Galilee. That's the region where Jesus was teaching. So, okay. And from Jerusalem. Jerusalem was far away. Galilee's up here. Jerusalem is way down here. And it was not a simple like, hey, hop in your car and get there in an hour kind of trip. They had to intentionally go for a long journey to get up to Galilee where Jesus was, figure out where they were going to stay while they were there. All it was like there was this group of Pharisees and the scribes. The scribes are the ones who are considered the teachers of the law, the teachers of the religion. These two groups, it was like someone in Jerusalem said, we keep hearing stories about this guy up in Galilee. We need to send a contingent of people to go check him out, because we're not sure we like what we're hearing. And he might be teaching some bad stuff. And we've got to make sure that he is actually in line with what we know to be true, with what we know scripture to be. So they put together this contingent of teachers and of Pharisees who were going to go up north to check out this guy that they've been hearing so much about. So they are in the crowd. Part of the crowd that is standing in the way of this man getting to Jesus are the religious leaders, are the people for whom holiness is very important, are the people for whom following scripture is very, very important. Okay, let's stop a minute there and take this out of first century Galilee to 21st century Toronto, maybe Walmer. Are there ever times when our concern for scripture, for holiness, for getting the Bible right actually gets in the way of people meeting Jesus? We read in John, Jesus named the Word of God. We also look at our scripture and we call it the Word of God. There's some kind of connected identity there between scripture and between who Jesus was and the Word of God and God himself. And do we sometimes let all of that actually get in the way of people meeting Jesus? I'm going to come back to that, because the other group that was in the crowd were other people who desperately wanted to hear Jesus, who also needed to be healed by Jesus, who needed to be touched, who needed his compassion. They were also people who, like many of us, really, really want to know Jesus. And so we hear that he's teaching somewhere and we flock there and there's a whole crowd and we're part of that crowd. And that's marvelous and wonderful until we realize that they were part of the barrier to meeting Jesus. People who want to know Jesus can also be the barrier to meeting Jesus. What does that mean, right? When we think about that for ourselves, we come here, many of us come here because we want to know Jesus, because we want to meet God in this place, because we need to connect and be in relationship with God. And so sometimes do I come to this place? Do you come to this place with so many of your own needs that you can't be aware of others who've come seeking Jesus and possibly even get in the way of meeting Jesus? Well, that's a really hard question, right? The people genuinely needed to meet Jesus. Why didn't they part so that the guy on the stretcher could get to Jesus? Maybe they didn't see him. Maybe they were so involved in their own thing that they didn't even see him. Maybe they were in line and they didn't think he deserved to get in the way, to butt in front of them in line. Canadians really, I don't know if you've all noticed this, Canadians, we really like to line up and we get really frustrated if people butt into your place in line, right? There's an order to things, and apparently not all places in the world care about lines as much as we Canadians, and I think British care about lines too, but maybe they cared about the lineup and this guy wasn't waiting his turn. I wonder what people thought when he suddenly gets lowered down in front of Jesus. Like all of a sudden, look out, there's like a stretcher coming down over your head and you have to get out of the way. How angry did people get? Because he had butt in front of them. He got in the way. He forced them to move away from Jesus so that he could get close to Jesus. I wonder what that reaction was like. I don't know, we have nothing to tell us because that's not really the point of the story, but we have nothing to tell us how people reacted. But I'm struck by the fact that there were these two groups that constituted the crowd that were a barrier to this man meeting Jesus. There were the religious authorities, the religious leaders, the people who were concerned about things like, I don't know, have you dressed correctly? Are you allowed in here? Are you speaking the right language? Do you know how to behave when you get in there? Right? Are you too loud? Are you too quiet? Are you moving too much? Are you not moving enough? Are you drinking your coffee while the preacher's preaching? Are you not drinking coffee while the preacher's preaching? Are you having a nap? Are you standing up and moving around? Are you sitting on a couch? Are you sitting on a chair? Like there's rules that we sometimes don't even know are rules that can be barriers to meeting Jesus. And I wonder what are the rules that we don't even know are rules when people come here to meet Jesus. I actually don't want that to be just a hypothetical question. I want us to think about that as Walmer. And I'm going to invite you at some point today before you leave. These cards that are for the Walmer box being the little white box by across from the coffee by the pillar back there. What are the rules that you've encountered at Walmer, at another church? But really, like, what are the rules that maybe we don't even know that we have? What are the, and then expand it and go, what are the things that for you have been barriers to being able to meet Jesus in a place like this? Right? Maybe they're just like, I couldn't find my way to where you were worshiping. Maybe that's the barrier. Maybe the barrier is I came in and nobody talked to me, or I came in and everybody tried to talk to me. Or I came in and nobody who was leading any of the worship looked anything like I did. Right? Maybe I don't know. What were they? What are the barriers that you encountered or you have seen encountered here as people come to meet Jesus in this place? You don't even have to put your name on it if you don't want, but I'd love to hear from you on those things. Are there rules like the scribes and Pharisees had that are barriers? But also, are there ways, thinking about ourselves, are there ways that we come in so focused on just me and what I need from God and my relationship with God, that I stop seeing other people who step into this place? This church used to have a food bank. For decades, we had a food bank that ran out of our church. And one of the people who was in leadership at the food bank by the time we had to move to a new location, and so, because our building is falling apart and we felt people shouldn't risk their life when they go to a food bank. So it went to a different location, and the person who was leading it at the time when it went to a different location was somebody who I I really appreciated him. The first time he ever came to the food bank, he came as just somebody who needed food. And he was an alcoholic and a drug addict, and he was really struggling. And one day in the fall, the food bank had a barbecue out in the parking lot. So there were tables, there were chairs, there was a barbecue, there was all sorts of stuff out there. And at the end of the event, people had to bring everything in. It had to be cleaned up. Volunteers had to do all of this work. And he looked and he was like, I can help carry in a table. So he helped carry in a table. And it was the first time he had ever engaged in real service. And when he told me his story, he was like, and then I kept helping. And he kept coming to food bank, and he would come to help, not just to get food anymore. He would actually come to see how he could help. Could he help set up? Could he help people find their way? What was it that he could do? And he realized that there was something about actually serving, not just being served, that not just made him have more fun at the food bank, because it was kind of a cool program that was happening here at this place. But the most incredible thing was it was the thing that he credits with his own sobriety. He's been sober for, I don't know, 15 years now, and he credits serving others with his sobriety. Why? Because it took his eyes off of him, and it gave him a short window of time when he was looking at other people, when he was focused on other people. And I wonder, all of those people who are there before Jesus, who need Jesus, let's not forget, they legitimately need Jesus, right? We come to this place because we legitimately need Jesus. I'm not saying that when I'm here, I shouldn't be praying. I shouldn't be saying, God, what are you doing in my life? Where are you in my life? Absolutely. Jesus is here to hear from us, to receive our lament, to receive our praise, to receive our concerns, our tears, all of that. I'm also acknowledging that sometimes we come into this place and we have nothing left after just falling on our knees before Jesus. And that is totally okay. But also, sometimes we get so caught in this cycle of it being about me and Jesus, me and Jesus, me and Jesus, that we grow blind to other people searching for Jesus. That we maybe see them come, but we don't pay attention to what's happening on their face or in their body language or in their questions. That we don't have space to say, it's really good to see you this morning. How can I pray for you this week? I wonder if there's times when we have rules, and I'm hoping you write down those rules, that are barriers for people meeting Jesus. But I also wonder if there are times when our own desperate need for Jesus is actually a barrier to meeting Jesus. And here's the thing, like this guy who was a leader at the food bank, I think what we find is when we start taking our eyes off ourselves and looking at ways, hey, how can I be praying for other people? What are the needs of other people? How am I in the way? How can I step back so that this person can meet Jesus? Or how can I help carry this person to Jesus? Those kind of questions. We actually discover that our own souls, our own engagement with Jesus also grows. It's this weird thing. He starts serving at the food bank, and that's the beginning step for him towards sobriety, towards growth, towards health and wholeness in his own life, right? If we sometimes get so caught up in our own journeys of faith, in our own relationship with Jesus, we actually get stalled in that growth. We get stalled in ourselves until we start to look at other people. Because the thing is, as soon as you become a follower of Jesus, you have a call on your life. And the call is simple. It's to love people like Jesus loved people. It's to love ourselves like Jesus loved us, but also to love other people the way Jesus loved them. I really hope, and my prayer is, that people aren't barred from Jesus when they come to Walmer. I don't think we ever do it intentionally. But I hope that you would write down, are there physical things that you experienced as barriers? Are there people things that you experienced as bearers? Are there sexist things? Are there racist things? Are there you fill in the blank things that are barriers that you see to Jesus, and please write them down. The God that we worship, we know through Jesus. When we read scripture, when we read the stories about Jesus, we meet the God of scripture. And he's a God that loves us so much that not only did he just open his eyes and go, oh, there's other beings besides myself here, but he also went so far as being willing to go to the cross for us. That's what this table is about. It reminds us of Jesus' willingness to die, to go through death, to open a door to life so that we could have life. In John 1, Jesus was life, and that life was the light of the world, and that is the same life that we are offered. It's the same life that won out on the cross. Darkness seemed to be everywhere, but darkness did not overcome because Jesus was resurrected. This is the God we gather here to worship. And let us never, ever, ever be a barrier to anybody else ever meeting this marvelous, amazing God.